Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all those who will come alive, who know the whole world will change in the blink of an eye. Open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright, there's no left here in the dark. You can't arrest an idea whose time has come.
There, everybody. This is Sally L. Cordy, and my guest today is Sarah Carrasco. You are listening to Vaccine Free America, and Sarah Carrasco's new book is The Autism Help Book. It's not actually brand new, but it is newish, and I'm eager to share it with many people because I'm sure that Sarah wishes she had a book like this before her son became autistic from vaccination. And this is why I'm having her on. Many people have had this diagnosis. It's new. The whole scene is new to them. And I'm sure Sarah's book will help them. So welcome, Sarah Carrasco. It says you can turn off the video if you like, Sarah. Okay. But anyway, Sarah Carrasco, I have made a tiny URL for your book so that people could get it readily, and I'm going to say that at the top of the show. If after you hear this very important conversation, you wish to purchase the book, you can find it at tinyurl.com/autismhelpbook. Okay? Pretty easy to remember. All right. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Sally. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, great. Okay, good.
So, now, I am presuming why you wrote this book, because you would have liked to have had a book like this yourself?
Correct. Yes. I basically wrote the book that I needed when my son was diagnosed, and you know, it was sort of like a case of conscience. I felt so bad for all these parents that had to go through what I went through with insurance companies and education and learning the Americans with Disabilities Act that, you know, I just thought there has to be a way to consolidate this for these parents so that they can hit the ground running and they don't spend years like I did trying to piece together resources.
Right, exactly. So why don't we start at the beginning of the book? I don't have it laid out by chapters, but I know that in every aspect you are trying to assist. So you start where you know we should start.
Well, so I intentionally made the first chapter, first things first, take care of yourself. Because, you know, I always think of the analogy, if you're on an airplane with your children, the flight attendants will tell you to put the oxygen mask on yourself first so that you can save your child. And what's interesting is there was a study done through the University of Wisconsin, and mothers of children with autism, severe autism like my son used to have, had brain scans similar to those of combat veterans. And so it does take a toll on the parents and the caregivers. And so I start with reminding parents to take care of themselves, even if it's 20 minutes here and there or a couple hours a week, you know, just taking time for themselves. And I provide resources, you know, how to access respite care and how to find quality help. So I started there on purpose, because you can't save the child if you're not saving yourself.
Hi there, Sarah. Do you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. What I'm going to do, I muted myself so I don't interrupt you. Sometimes my dog barks and I want no interruptions. Okay. So you just continue on, and I'm a listener for all intents and purposes.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So then the next chapter is getting a diagnosis of autism. And that's significant for a few reasons. One, I think that it's imperative to get early intervention services if you can. So the earlier you get the diagnosis, the earlier you can get things like behavior therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy, refining gross motor skills. So, you know, there is a function for getting the diagnosis. But bigger than that, I break down the diagnostic codes. So the ICD-10 codes are basically numbers that insurance companies use to bill and to determine services. So I explain the differences in the diagnostic codes for autism and what that means in terms of services and what that means in terms of what schools have to provide for the child. And again, you know, that's something that took me a long time to learn, and I don't think that parents need to waste that time. They just need to understand the significance of the diagnostic codes. So, like, when David was diagnosed 13 years ago, we had the old codes, which was 299.00 for classic autism. So they've changed. So I do list the new codes, and you basically take that and submit that to Social Security or insurance companies, because most services are qualified based on a computer program. So when you include these diagnostic codes in your paperwork, a lot of times you're automatically approved and don't have to go through this extensive denial process and appeals process. So I listed these things just to kind of help parents speed the process along. The next chapter is understanding health insurance and Medicaid, and I'm not going to lie, it was so hard to write that chapter because there's nothing fun about health insurance or Medicaid, but those things, you know, understanding how they work and what insurance companies provide, what Medicaid can provide for long-term services, are really essential to a child developing a program that's going to work for for them, you know, and to support the family. So I basically just break down what your legal rights are in terms of health insurance and what the different Medicaid programs are for children with autism. You know, Medicaid based on income is very different than disability Medicaid. So I just explain in the simplest terms possible what Medicaid programs are out there and how you qualify. The fourth chapter would be your favorite, Sally, because I talk about biomedical interventions for autism and recovery. So people sometimes in the autism community get mad about the word recovery, but the truth is that there are kids who have lost the diagnosis of autism, and there are a few ways that that is possible. So one, you have to determine the severity of the injury. So autism is essentially man-made, right? So we have glyphosate and genetically modified foods that were introduced to the food supply in the mid-90s in the United States. And as the amount of exposure to glyphosate and genetically modified foods increases, you see on a chart the more incidence of autism we have. And not only does glyphosate impact DNA, it impacts the endocrine system, which is responsible for hormone regulation and that kind of thing. And then you have, obviously, vaccines. I think people don't really understand the biological impact that vaccines have because of the synergy of ingredients. So it's not that you just have one harmful vaccine ingredient. It's that on one day, a child could be exposed to, let's say, aluminum and a trace amount of thimerosal, which is mercury-based. And then you have polysorbate 80, which opens up the blood-brain barrier and allows the aluminum and mercury and formaldehyde and all of these ingredients to cross the blood-brain barrier and cause neurological and cellular damage. So, to me, I don't understand why talking about vaccine injury is so controversial when you look at the synergistic toxicity. It makes sense. There is no way a human being can be exposed to those levels of toxins with the polysorbate 80 that enters the brain and not have a response. I actually wrote an article about it for VacTruth called Vaccine Ingredients, America's Dirty Little Secret, because I think we really need to have a conversation about that synergy. And I know something that has been interesting to you, Sally, which I appreciate you acknowledging that, but I wrote an article called Acetaminophen, a Catalyst to Autism. And I think that acetaminophen, which is, you know, most commonly used before and after vaccines and in Tylenol, is a catalyst to autism. And so, does acetaminophen cause autism? No, it does not. What it does is it decreases the body's glutathione production. And that glutathione is the only way a body can detox. So we give children acetaminophen before they're vaccinated. Their body stops, well, almost stops producing glutathione. And then you introduce things, you know, again, like formaldehyde or acetone, aluminum, vaccine ingredients, and the body literally can't detox it. And so I think if we could just have a practical, unemotional conversation about the impact of acetaminophen on the body's ability to detox, I think we could make huge progress in terms of decreasing vaccine injury probability, or the probability of that. And that is something that I think we can work with legislators on, no matter what state you're in, and if you have a majority of Democrats or a majority of Republicans. I don't think it ever hurts to go talk to your representatives and just say, hey, you know, there is a lot of literature on acetaminophen and what it does to the body, and, you know, show them the science. There's a ton of research out there on acetaminophen and glutathione, and just start the conversation of, like, can we move the classification of this to something that can only be prescribed by a doctor? The fact that it's over the counter really doesn't allow parents the ability to, you know, the package insert or information on how harmful it can be long term.
And let's also talk about the fact that in Cuba, where they have it only, Tylenol is only by prescription from a doctor, they have 298 times less autism. That we could live with that. We could live with 298 times less autism.
Correct. And so how I figured this out, I think I told you this, but, you know, my son was really injured by his vaccines. He went from being typically functioning and typically developing and, like, crushing his milestones. His doctor said he was a genius. He was speaking and pointing and doing well. And after his vaccines, he had a really severe reaction and really severe autism. It wasn't anywhere near mid to high functioning autism. And so I have always researched the ingredients. And in my mind, I think if I can figure out what caused the symptoms, I can try and reverse it. So because his symptoms ebb and flow, and sometimes he has times where he's just really physically sick, I start doing my own research. So one day I started looking at other countries' vaccination rates and comparing them to their autism rates. And what I found interesting was that the country of Cuba is almost 100% vaccinated, and I mean they're at like 99%, but they have about 290% less autism than us. And I thought, well, that's odd. So I started looking at the data that's available to the public from Cuba's health department, essentially. And what I found is that, number one, yes, they're fully vaccinated, but they do rigorous safety testing on their vaccines. As were ours, a lot of them are made in dirty factories overseas, and no one ever checks them. And they also make their own vaccines, as where we import a lot of ours, and they safety test them on a regular basis, as where we do not. And I think kids get about 36 total, and our kids get about 75. But the other thing that stood out to me was that they don't allow the sale of acetaminophen over the counter. It has to be prescribed by a doctor, and it's very rare that a doctor would prescribe acetaminophen. And I just thought, well, that's odd. I'm going to look into what that does to the body. And that's when I realized that acetaminophen, basically hinders the body's ability to detox. And that is hugely significant. And people get so emotional over this topic, it's like they lose all ability to reason. So maybe a good place for us to start is to say, hey, maybe if we just took this one thing off the market, like Cuba, we might see a decrease in the incidence of vaccine reactions. So even if a person doesn't believe you or I that vaccine injury is common, I think that they can agree that there is an issue with glutathione production around the time of vaccination. So it's really difficult to bridge this conversation with legislators, but I think that's a good place to start. Like, can we at least talk about this? And people going to their legislators and bringing them this information in person, you know, a lot of them, at least in Colorado, don't even read our emails. They don't open them. And parents spend a lot of time and effort putting those emails together. And unfortunately, sometimes it's just a waste of your time. And if your legislator won't meet with you, I mean, what we do here is we just hang out at the Capitol all day until they're ready. Or in some states, you can have them pulled off the floor if they're in session. So if you can't get a meeting, you go get a meeting and just hang out at the Capitol till they're ready to speak with you. I also think that there is a way to have these conversations with legislators. And, you know, it's an old book, but the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, or, you know, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, I think, you know, maybe read a chapter or 5 pages from one of those books before you go in and speak with your House member or Senate member, because you have to be very diplomatic and I think, you know, always courteous and polite. And we get so emotional about this that sometimes it's hard to stay level-headed. But the better we present this information, the more likely they are to help us draft legislation and get common sense legislation around acetaminophen and the synergistic toxicity passed.
Amen to that, Sarah. I couldn't agree with you more. It is a highly emotionally charged issue, this vaccine issue, because when people reach their legislators' offices, so much is riding on this conversation. So pointing them in the direction of books that can show you how to be reasonable in the face of a highly charged experience was a very good tip. Would you like to get back to the book?
Yes, thank you, Sally.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So chapter 5 is about autism-related therapies and interventions. So that is hugely significant, but, you know, my heart is always with people with autism and their families. So,
okay, hold just a second, Sarah. We'll be right back on Vaccine Free America with Sally Olcourty. It's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts.
Hello. Hi there. We're back with Sarah Carrasco, and her book is called The Autism Help Book, and you will find it if you go to tinyurl.com/autismhelpbook by Sarah Carrasco. Now, this is also on, this is the Barnes & Noble website I'm sending you to at that particular link. Sarah is going to continue. She's on chapter 5, and I just want to let everyone know that she is taking calls towards the end of this program. So if you have questions, please stay the course and feel free to call in. There's a comment line on republicbroadcasting.org. We hope that you will call in towards the end of the program. Well, proceed, Sarah Carrasco.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, I saw that online that it says it's available through Barnes & Noble, but I was not aware of that. To my knowledge, it's available on Amazon. And I don't know if they did, if the publisher did contract with a chain, but, you know, whatever. It's on Amazon for sure. So moving on to Chapter 5. So although it sounds boring to talk about autism therapies and that kind of thing, I think it's hugely important because each child is very different. And there are so many therapies out there that parents don't need to be beholden to this mindset that you can only do ABA and only do speech and only do OT. You know, you have to do what works for your child as an individual. But I started this chapter with a poem that literally changed my life with autism and changed my perception of my son. And it's called Beatitudes for Friends of Disabled Children. And it goes like this. Blessed are you who take the time to listen to difficult speech, for you help us to know that if we persevere, we can be understood. Blessed are you who walk with us in a public place and ignore the stares of strangers, for in your companionship we find havens of relaxation. Blessed are you who never bid us hurry up and more. Blessed are you who do not snatch tasks from our hands and do them for us, for often what we need is time rather than help. Blessed are you who ask for our help, for our greatest need is to be needed. Blessed are you who stand beside us as we enter new and untried ventures, for our failures will be outweighed by the times when we surprise ourselves in you. And it goes on, but what changed my life with autism was the line, blessed are you who ask for our help, for our greatest need is to be needed. And I think that no matter where our child is on the spectrum, we have to remember that everyone needs to feel like their life has significance and importance, and that they can contribute to the household. I think there is a sense of accomplishment and self-esteem that comes from that. And so no matter where your child is on the spectrum, I think it's good to always teach skills and chores and that kind of thing, because, you know, my son is 17 and he's doing very well, but when I ask him to help me, like, hey, can you help me with the trash or with the dishes? You know, he really beams and he lights up. And my other two kids don't do that when I ask them to help with chores. But I think, you know, he is capable of so much, and he appreciates that I, you know, I don't see the autism. I see my son, who just needed a little bit of extra help to be able to contribute. But it's building self-esteem along the way, because, you know, a lot of our kids are going to have to live on their own someday, and they need to feel like they can take care of themselves. So the purpose of this chapter is to teach therapies that can help our kids maintain as much independence as possible. So I think we all kind of know the basics for autism, which is ABA and speech. But there are a lot of good therapies. So the Wilbarger brushing technique is not something you need to hire a therapist for. It's just this brush you can buy online for like $5. And you have to do the technique correctly, but it helps decrease sensory stimulus. So you can go in public and do things that when there is a sensory response, you just use the brush and some joint compressions and help them calm down. And it can be life-changing, and it's $5. Obviously, speech therapy. And a therapy I really like is called RDI, Relationship Development Intervention. And another one is called Sunrise. And Sunrise and RDI are similar in the sense that you have to develop a relationship with the person with autism before you go in and try and set a bunch of rules or expect them to do something you want them to do. And that sometimes you have to go into their world because it is unrealistic to think they're going to come into yours. And so when my son was little and severe, I needed to bond with him to be able to teach him. You know, they say rules without relationships equal rebellion. So I didn't want to set a bunch of rules without, you know, bonding with him, which was sort of hard because he didn't look at me and he hit me a lot. And, you know, I just loved him to death, but he wouldn't let me hug him and that kind of thing. So
it's the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against...
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AR.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let the light shine so bright, there's no left here in the dark.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Vaccine Free America on RepublicBroadcasting.org. My guest is Sarah Carrasco, and her book is called The Autism Help Book. And she and I are going to take action for this, the 10th anniversary of October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. Sarah, last time, stood on a corner holding up a large sign, and she can remind me what it said. But it's important to do something significant to awaken people. This is awareness. We're trying to wake people up. So I don't know what she's doing this year, but she's in Colorado, and perhaps you can contact her or contact her through me. And if you're in New York City, my event is on October 12th, and we ask people to participate. We are not interested in an audience. We tape for television. So what we care about is people who wish to speak. Okay, and that's going to be October 12th, and contact me at October, V as in vaccine, I as in injury, A as in awareness, M as in month at AOL.com. October, V-I-A-M at AOL.com, and you're welcome to contact me for Sarah as well if you live in Colorado. Okay, Sarah, let's get back to Chapter 5 of the Autism Book.
Okay, thank you. So this chapter, again, is about the different therapy options. So sunrise is good because they use the principle of joining So you're joining the child in their world. And so David used to flap his hands, so I'd flap my hands, and he'd spin, so I'd spin. And he would open and close the doors a million times, so I'd do it with him. And then eventually we bonded because I was doing something he wanted to do. And I think the world expects people with autism to always conform and do what they want them to do. And I just think that's not really fair. You know, we have to meet them in the middle. You know, they have to go all over town with us doing what we want to do. We need to really consider their feelings and where they're at and things too. So then there's also pivotal response training, which is hugely helpful, hippotherapy, which is horse therapy. Social thinking can be really impactful for people with autism who have a hard time socializing. So, you know, one thing social thinking curriculum teaches is you have a child and you make your little people out of Play-Doh or some type of clay. And they make one that looks like themselves, and you practice things like, I'm in the circle and out of the circle. You know, just even what socializing looks like. And if you face your friends, what does that look like as opposed to not facing them? And just really teaching the concepts of early socialization that aren't innate for people with autism, or a lot of people with autism. You know, music therapy can be helpful, rapid prompt method. And so I think, you know, you just have to meet your child where they are. Some people do energy healing. Whatever you as a parent feel is going to be most impactful is what you should do. And many of us do a hybrid of therapies. So David has, like, has had probably 5 different types of therapies. So I just explain the different ones so parents don't have to go reinvent the wheel. The 6th chapter is education. So children who have autism in many cases qualify for what's called an IEP, so an individualized education plan. And it's an education plan specific to the child, not this umbrella diagnosis of autism. But what tends to happen in school districts that I've noticed is sometimes the teachers don't read the IEP, or sometimes the aides who are with the kids all day don't read the IEP, or they don't follow it. And so I just explain what parents' rights are in terms of how you monitor an IEP and how you make sure that services are being implemented properly and what you do if they're not. So you can do things like file a civil rights violation, which is free to parents, and it's a really effective means of getting things done quickly. You know, if you go hire a lawyer, it's expensive, but it can drag out for years. But a civil rights violation, if the OCR, the Office of Civil Rights, accepts it, it means that they believe there has been a violation, and the school district has 30 days to resolve it, as opposed to spending tons of money on a lawyer and waiting for years for it to be resolved. So it is an efficient way of dealing with a problem with the IEP. Or parents can file a complaint with the state, the state's Department of Education. So I think there are means to address these things. But also, I just explained the different acronyms in special education, what the students' rights are, what the parents' rights are, and what goes into an IEP. So you have the IEP, which basically outlines minutes and education, but you can also add a transportation plan, which is specific to where the child sits, if you need an aide on the bus, that kind of thing. You can have a health plan added to the IEP. They're not all the same thing. You have to add it. And sometimes the school districts won't tell you that. So the health plan would outline things like when they need to take medicine, if there are allergies, special diets, behavior plans. So what I've seen come up a lot, which makes me furious, is that districts are not properly training their staff in autism-related behaviors. So they'll call the police on our kids. Don't get me started. They will suspend them, that kind of thing. So my book goes into, no, you can't do that. You have to first start with a behavior plan, which is added to the IEP, or what's called a manifestation determination to determine if the behavior was a manifestation of the disability. And in that instance, you have to use the behavior plan to address the behavior. We don't get to call the police to, you know, to cop out of it. Or the principal, who may or may not be trained in the Americans with Disabilities Act. So I think it's just a way to empower parents and let them know what their rights are in terms of education. Chapter 7 is preparing your child for adolescence and adulthood. So that is a really tricky thing to do for kids with autism, but I'm with an organization called TACA, Talk About Curing Autism, or no, they changed their name. Now it's the Autism Community in Action, and I link to the chart they have, which is teaching skills to people with autism incrementally, right? So we start with taking out the trash and move on to self-care and that kind of thing. But I also, in that chapter, go into, you know, what the paperwork end of it looks like and, you know, preparing for that transition after high school to age 21 for vocational skills and that kind of thing. And puberty is just brutal for kids with autism, so I provide resources for that as well. Chapter 8 is called Your New Life, because I think what is most shocking to myself and other parents of kids with autism is how much your life changes, but also how often people stare at you in public or sometimes make inappropriate comments about your child, because autism typically has no physical markers. You can't look at my son and tell he has a disability. But, you know, he does, like, flap his hands and make cute noises. And just getting into, like, how do we adapt to this new life? But also, how do we adapt and thrive and still be happy and things be great? And so one of those things is, you know, I think a little information goes a really long way. So if you're going to a family outing or you're taking your child to meet your in-laws for the first time, or, you know, whatever the case is, I think just sending a one-page paper of, like, this is what autism is, and, you know, make it as specific as you can to your child, but keep it short. But, like, you know, Timmy likes if you give him a high five. Don't touch his head. He's going to hate it. You know, he likes this type of snack. That's how you can bond with him. And I think it's just a way to set everyone up for success. And so I go into all of these ways that our life changes, but also, like, how do we make the best of it for ourselves, our family, but most importantly, for the person with autism. Chapter 9 is a real party. It's about legal considerations. And while that may not be a fun topic, it's something that parents have to know. They have to know their child's rights. They have to know their rights. They have to understand guardianship. And that there's a difference between leaving your child a trust and leaving everything in a special needs trust. And the difference between a special needs trust and an ABLE account. Just quickly, so a trust is, like, let's say I have $200,000 in equity in my house, and I'm leaving him $200,000 in cash. That goes into a special needs trust. If you have assets less than $100,000, there is a way to make sure your child with autism gets that money but keeps their services, and that is called an ABLE account. So I just explain what these things are and how you set them up and make sure that the financial piece of protecting the child with autism is in place. And also things like, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act. If someone tries to arrest a person with autism, you know, a lot of police departments, unfortunately, are not trained, so they don't know that you have to have a guardian, parent, advocate, or attorney present. You know, our children also lack criminal intent, so in most cases, pressing charges is wholly inappropriate and not legal. So just sort of explaining what your legal rights are. And chapter 10 is life with autism. So I think what happens is we are so caught up in raising a child with autism because it is all consuming. It takes up your time, your money. Time you would be on vacation is now spent at doctor's offices. And so I think, you know, it's easy to take stock in your own emotions. I think as people, we do that several times a day. But what's difficult to do is take stock of someone else's emotions and how things impact that person. And so chapter 10 is about what it's like to have autism. And I can't speak to that because that is not my personal experience. So that chapter is basically just quotes and articles written by people who, many of them are nonverbal, but people with autism explaining what it's like to have autism. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about me, and it isn't about parents, really. I mean, it impacts us, but it's about how do we get to the highest quality of life for people with autism. And I think sometimes that means empathizing and trying to see things from their perspective. So if I could quickly give a quote from chapter 10, this is written by Timothy Ryan. So Timothy Ryan has autism, and his parents used rapid prompt movement to teach him how to communicate. And so that I go into that in chapter 5. But he has very limited language. And so this is his explanation of what it felt like to go to Disneyland and get on an airplane. So he said, "The Disney park was hot, steamy, muggy, and smelly. My family and I were waiting for Splash Mountain ride, and I felt sick. My body was on fire from the inside out. My head was going to explode. I couldn't talk and describe the agony. That was the beginning of my ordeal. The airplane would prove to be my greatest challenge thus far. Little did I know everything would go askew. The airplane was cramped, dirty, noisy, and uncomfortable. I became sick, nauseous, and disoriented. Passengers were staring at me with ugly faces. I felt like I was on display at the museum. Dad was aware of my discomfort due to my relentless pummeling from my fists. Mom was mortified by my seemingly irrational behavior. I felt as if my body were breaking down like an old used car. It hurt to breathe, think, talk, and be around people. People make it impossible for me to interact. They speak too rapidly and don't wait for me to respond." So the purpose of this chapter is to really get a glimpse of what it's like to have autism and the sensory piece, and how that impacts things like travel or being in social settings, and really putting ourselves in their shoes. And it also gives parents some perspective on, like, you know, what can I do to minimize this sensory response? So things like headphones, or again, the Will Barger brushing technique is highly effective and also inexpensive. And I think just really taking time to look at their perspective on life with autism and not always, you know, from the outside looking in. And those are pretty much all the chapters, Sally.
That was a really good insight into how these children are experiencing something as common as air travel, or as one would think exciting and wonderful as Disneyland, you know? Mm-hmm. One would not expect those reactions from those experiences. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah,
and sure. I'm so glad somebody who was autistic could explain it so well. You know, that's another thing. So many of these children don't speak at all. Now, sign language, you were talking about communicating physically?
Sign language is pretty common in the autism world. So when David was little, I had a speech therapist teach him probably 20 signs. And then the more we detoxed, the more he started to speak. So we sort of transitioned out of it, but that can be a very effective way to communicate. There's also PECS system, so like a picture card system. you know, there are apps that are hugely helpful. This one girl, Carly, she was taught to use a computer and to type, but she never spoke. And I don't think to this day she has very much language, but she writes a blog, she wrote a book, she has her own website. And so I think it's finding how this person can communicate and what's going to work best. Because you have to think of, like let's say tomorrow you and I, Sally, we couldn't speak.
We'll be right back with Sarah Carrasco of Autism Help Book.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark. You can't arrest an idea.
Hi there, everybody. This is Sally Alcorti. You're listening to Vaccine Free America, and I'm interviewing Sarah Carrasco of AutismHelpBook.com. There it is, her website. You can contact her there. You can purchase the book there. And I wish I had asked her if she had a website before we embarked. But, you know, I have seen an autistic child spin to the point of bleeding and ripping his jeans in the face of Wi-Fi. Incessantly, could not stop himself. Everyone who was witnessing him thought he was very funny and he was having a merry time. His mother, who was videotaping it, could see it was telling people, these people are laughing, they think he's funny, but he's really reacting to the Wi-Fi on this college campus, which she went to Xerox something, you know? And it was just, the overload was really having an effect on him. Is this typical, would you say, or was that an unusual reaction to it?
Well, you know, I think then again, we always have all of these new variables that really haven't been studied properly. So there are a lot of people who make the argument that Wi-Fi can be damaging and can cause damage to tissue. So I think, you know, that's a difficult thing for me to answer because I don't know a ton about it. But what I do know is that the FCC regulates more like ground wires. They're not regulating the impact of wireless communication and EMFs and that kind of thing. So the truth is that it could be hugely harmful. I have heard that about other kids. My son doesn't react like that, but that doesn't mean that some other child would. They're very sensitive.
The Children's Medical Safety Research Institute has come out with a report that autistic children's brains are saturated with aluminum, which that concerns me. I wonder, will we be torturing these children with the 5G?
So 5G is particularly troublesome because when you take a device that measures radiation, right? And let's say I took that device and I put it next to a microwave. You're going to get a small amount of microwave radiation. When you take the same meter and put it next to a 5G tower, it's off the charts. So if you put aluminum foil in a microwave and turn it on, what does it do? It starts a fire. And so we really, again, have this variable. What is 5G going to do?
I want to thank my guest, Sarah Carrasco of AutismHelpBook.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sally.
Yes, dear. I believe we that's it. The show's over.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.